The first public hearing is subdivision 2018-32, Tempachi Farms, Wheat Farms LLC.
This is a cluster subdivision to divide 33.81 acres into 33 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County. The property is located on the north side of Burton Road, approximately 0.83 mile west of Sandhill Road. The tax parcel is District 235, Map 19, Parcel 7. The zoning district is A01 Agricultural Residential District. As it is a subdivision, it did go through our TAC, our Technical Advisory Committee. We did receive comments from the Fire Marshal, the Department of Ag, DENREC, Sussex Conservation District, the Sussex County Engineering Department Public Works Division, and the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We would also note there was an exhibit booklet submitted for the application. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application? Yes, sir. Mr. Davidson.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Mark Davidson. I'm a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates located outside of Milton, Delaware. I'm here tonight representing the application for Tempachi Farm subdivision, and with me tonight is Mr. James Grant. He is the owner of the property, and he will be developing the property. Also with me is Mr. Alan Decker, who is a professional engineer with Pannoni Associates. This is an application to consider a detached single-family lot major subdivision using the cluster development option under section 115-25A2 of the land in an AR1 agricultural residential district by dividing 33.81 acres into 33 lots. It's located in the Broadkill 100. It is on the north side of Burton Road, and it's approximately 1 mile west of Delaware Route 30, approximately 2 miles west of the town of Milton. In the exhibit booklet that I've turned in for the project, there's several maps within the tabs. And just to kind of describe the property here, I did submit an aerial. This property is bordered on the north side by lands of the Nature Conservancy. They do own a large segment of woodlands up in this area. I think that thing works on my PowerPoint. And then we're bordered on the west and the south side by lands that were once part of this farm that had been subdivided out previously by the owner in which Mr. Grant has purchased the property from. And then we're on the east side. There is an ag farm on the east side of this property. The applicant has provided the required supporting statements as required under 99-24 A, B, and F in support of the subdivision's application. Those are located in tab 2 of the hearing booklet. In the Sussex Comprehensive Plan update, the area for the proposed Tempachi Farms is identified for the purposes of the future land use as a low density area. The strategies for state policies and spending identify the area as a investment level 4 and is consistent with land use plan as well as all county ordinances. The development of this site in an AR1 agricultural residential district with a cluster option is a permitted use. With the conditions imposed, the proposed development will be designed in accordance with both the subdivision ordinance and the zoning ordinances. The development has a proposed density of less than one lot per acre and is consistent with the uses permitted in a low density area and the purposes of the agricultural residential district, which permits residential development and with the ordinances relating to the cluster development subdivision. Tempachi Farms is in character with the nature of the area in that it provides for 1/2 acre lots and a retention of natural and open space features. The project will comply with all agricultural use regulations required by law, including buffers, setbacks, and agricultural use restrictions. The project will provide for active and passive recreational uses that consist of 12.32 acres, which is approximately 36% of the property. The project's location west of Sandhill Road in Delaware Route 30 provides for easy access to major roadways for shopping in Georgetown and Milton. Public investment in infrastructure will be avoided because all single-family lots will have individual wells and septics. The developer will be responsible for construction of roads within the subdivision as well as the entrance and road improvements to and along Burton Road. And the The cluster design is a superior design as it provides for single-family detached dwellings in a low-density area. And again, as I stated previously, it's in compliance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Approximately 12.32 acres of the project will remain as open space. Again, in the booklet, I've provided for the a color rendering. The subdivision plat's in here. You'll see how the actual subdivision, how we fit it within the property here. I'll go over some of the code requirements under 99-9C in just a few minutes. 3.13 acres of that open space of the site will be planted and preserved as for the forest and landscape buffer as defined in section 99-5 subsections A through J. There's approximately 8.1 acres of woods on this property that is connected to the woods to the adjacent, and the majority of all those wooded areas within the property are going to remain and will not be disturbed. Two-thirds of the lots within this subdivision, as you'll notice, there's only a small section of lots in the middle here. And again, this, if you can see right here, the rest of these lots all butt up against open space. And again, the density of this is less than one lot per acre. We've also provided for some additional open space around the perimeter of the property to help handle the stormwater management without disturbing the existing and the proposed landscape for the project. The project will have a single homeowners association for the maintenance of the common areas, open space, amenities, streets, buffers, and stormwater. I've submitted a sample of the, or a preliminary of the covenants and restrictions in tab 3. Like I previously mentioned, under tab 4, I did submit some of the requirements under section 115.25E for design requirements for cluster development and the 99-9C. I'm not going to read them all, they're in there, but I will touch on a few of them. And again, all lots are for detached single family dwellings on individual lots. The covenants and restrictions dictate the permitted housing for this project. They talk about the size and the types of houses that are going to be permitted within the property. The smallest lot size, again, is 1/2 acre, and if you'll notice, up in the upper corner of the property, there is a larger lot in here. It's about 1.5 acres. Mr. Grant is going to be building his house on that particular lot within the subdivision, so as he's building the subdivision, he's also going to be living in the subdivision. We have provided for forested buffers around the ag parcels. We've provided for a 30-foot wide forested buffers around the areas of the land that do abut up against ag fields. There are no wetlands on the property. And we have careful attention was directed at the location on how we place this subdivision within the property. Looking at the aerial, you'll notice that the property has wooded areas, has existing vegetation around the entire perimeter of this property. We've taken the subdivision, and by using the cluster ordinance, we were able to fit the lots and all the disturbance with the roads and the stormwater management within the open space areas of the, so that we can retain the majority of all the trees that are bordering around this entire property. You'll notice that we've offsetted on the subdivision plan here, we've offsetted the lots off the front of Burton Road to keep them away from, and we tried to preserve as many of those existing trees that will buffer this subdivision from Burton Road. Based on the FEMA maps, we are outside the 500-year floodplain. Those maps are in the hearing booklet. We did provide for the preservation of natural historical features. We did provide an environmental review of the property. Again, no, there's no wetlands, no endangered species on the property. I have provided several maps. This used to be a site that was back in the, I think in the early to late 60s, it was entirely wooded. Then it was cleared to be able to be farmed. And again, the existing wooded buffer around the entire perimeter of this property is still intact. Again, we're going to preserve as much of the wooded areas. We're not going to fragment any of the woods against the Nature Conservancy, so we've left a lot of the wooded area intact that will butt up against the Nature Conservancy's property. All lots will have private individual wells, as permitted by Denerec. Under tab 5, we do have an approved Denerec feasibility study, and if you'll notice on the property here, all 33 lots will have standard gravity septic systems. The seasonal high water table was greater than 72 inches down. We are in a good recharge area, and stormwater for this property will be through infiltration on the site. So 100% of the water will be retained within the site and be infiltrated back into the ground. The roads within the subdivision will be designed to provide for slower moving vehicles within the development. We don't feel like there's going to be any effect on the area property values, as we feel like the property values will be increased by the development of this property, as well as how the covenants and restrictions have been written for the property, preserving all the trees and the types of housing that's going to be permitted on the property. The project will have a positive benefit on schools by generating economic benefits in the form of increased revenues through property taxes. We will coordinate and cooperate with the local school district transportation manager to establish a school bus stop out in front by the entrance. To support the existing traffic and additional traffic from this development, road and entrance improvement plans for this project will be finalized with DLDOT, and safe ingress and egress will be constructed. Again, we feel that we made this project compatible with the area land uses. Again, providing for the low density type of housing, single family detached dwellings on larger style lots. And we don't feel like there's going to be any effect on any area waterways, as we are going to infiltrate 100% of the stormwater on site because of the types of soils that we have to work with through the soil studies that we've had done. It's an excellent way to take care of the stormwater management and treat all the pollutants that a subdivision could possibly generate. And with that, we feel the proposed subdivision meets the general purpose of the subdivision and zoning ordinance, being located in the appropriate location, meeting the purpose of the zoning district and the comprehensive plan, which is essential and desirable for the general convenience, oriented growth, prosperity, and welfare of the county. With that, and with the hearing booklet submitted and the plans, and with my testimony here, we ask that you look favorably at this application, and we're here to take any questions that you may have.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone has any for you, and we'll start with Ms. Stevenson.
Of course, I've got to ask interconnectivity just because I do that now anyway. Everybody looks at it. Actually, no. My real question is about wastewater treatment and disposal, because there was a lot of information in here about the soils being poor and limited for septic.
One of the maps I've submitted, and this is in the soil feasibility report, it shows that the entire area was is good for gravity disposal systems. And when you do standard gravity septic systems, you have to have good sandy soils, and you have to have a limiting zone of greater than 72 inches to the seasonal high water table, not the actual water table, just to the seasonal high.
Okay.
He may have.
I would say page 35 says the soils are very limited for septic.
I think that might just be a general statement that the soil scientist might have put in there. As far as his final determination of the feasibility study and Denerec's concurrence of that through their approval letter, that all the lots will be able to handle standard gravities.
Okay. Tell me again what you said. I didn't realize it was the Nature Conservancy on one side of it. What's on the other side of it? The whole thing surrounded by the Nature Conservancy?
No, just the this is parcel here.
Okay.
This is all Nature Conservancy. And we're going to retain, we're not going to fragment that. We're retaining all this wooded line here, mm-hmm. and all this in here.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
So, no, what, would there be like a swale in front of each house to take care of the water? Where's the water flow?
The water, the roads would be designed with swales on both sides of the roads that will then take it over to the stormwater management area, which is on the northeast side of the property there.
So the lots have, each driveway will have a little culvert pipe and
That's correct, yes.
ditch.
And all of that's designed per Sussex County Engineering's new design requirements for roads and swales.
And what's the width of the road? The roads in there?
It'll be 24 feet from edge of pavement to edge of pavement. The right-of-way is 50 feet wide.
No more questions.
Okay, thank you.
Are there sidewalks?
We're not proposing sidewalks, but if certainly if we were hoping that the because of where this is located, we're in a level four, so DLDOT won't require us to. We have to dedicate the easement for a shared use path, but we will not have to build it, and so we were not proposing the sidewalks at this time.
Okay.
For this subdivision.
Another question on the multimodal. It's a pretty piece of property. I was just curious if Mr. Hopkins rode all the way in there.
Did I ride in?
Did you ride all the way in?
I rode by, but I didn't ride in this time.
I actually rode in this time. I pulled in a little way. It's pretty nice property.
Nice property.
Yeah. Okay. No further questions for me.
Okay. Staff?
None for me. Thank you.
Okay.
No, thank you.
None, thank you.
Counselor?
None, except for that, just for the record, I did review the restrictive covenants, and they comply with the requirements that we need to have in there for the ag use and all that sort of stuff.
All right then, Mr. Davidson, if you take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2018-34, Tempachi Farms Feed Farms LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2018-32? Yes, sir, right over here in blue shirt.
Good evening. My name is Robert Payton. I reside at 22345 Burton Road in Milton, Delaware. I am one of the properties to the east of the requested site map. Mrs. Stevenson, I feel that after living on this property for 40 years, I have a little bit of insight on what they're proposing. I think you're correct in the assumption that the soil is not adequate for standard septic. It is. When this property came up for purchase, other investors came to me as knowing that I knew the area and wanted to get my knowledge of the area. It was a very low-lying property and very wet. I've hunted this property. I've been on this property. Also, if you look at your satellite maps that they presented in your booklet, you'll actually see where ditches have been developed over decades in order to make this property dry in the nature that he needed to utilize it for the growth of trees, as opposed to the agriculture nature that is probably being utilized today. With too much water, obviously trees get diseased, so he had to remove the water one way or another, and he utilized ditches. And you'll see over time these ditches have gone away. However, that land has been forever changed in moving that water off his property and into a local stream that has been contaminated because of this property. And I'm really concerned regarding the community. And here's the stream if everybody wants to see a picture. And you'll see this culvert that was put in effort to actually be able to drain this off. If you would go by there right after the storm, you will see how much wastewater is coming off of this piece of property. And
excuse me, Mr. Payton, if you want that introduced into the
yes.
record, if you would give it to Ms. Cornwell and she'll pass it down, and then it'll become part of the official record.
Also, you got to take notice on that property from the road. You will see where there has been major ditches added in, and you could have saw them when you were going into the entrance, and you can go see them as you're going down. And I'll actually pass these along to Ms. Russell. You know, one thing as a Sussex County and as a homeowner, you know, I feel that I have a right to clean water and clean air. This, and the same goes for my children and my children's children. You know, I grew up on this farm. This is where I want to raise my children and everything, and I want to make sure that the decisions made today are going to adequately affect what's going to happen in the future. I mean, one of my biggest oppositions to this plan is the septic tanks, and the fact that in this political climate, water is a major concern, not only for my family, but for other families. And we're only 6 miles from Ellendale, and everybody knows what kind of water conditions Ellendale had, and you know what we had to do in order to resolve that. This property's water will be flowing towards my property's water, so anything that does not go 100% correctly on this development will affect my water. And I'm a parent that actually has my water tested because I have 2 children in my house. You know, some of the things that I look was I reading inside the documents that were provided for this is the fact that, you know, is this similar to other developments in the area? Well, I can tell you right now, there's Ingram Village in Ellendale that still has 350 lots, and out of those 350 lots, there's 120 affordable homes. What makes that Ingram Village different from this is the fact that they're on sewer and water. You know, there is infrastructure in place that is protecting the people in that area. You know, I have not seen a storm management plan or a downstream analysis to understand the ramifications of this division. I feel not my knowledge that stormwater management pond is not adequate for what's going to happen. This soil is very similar to the soil that's on my property, and you know, when you receive compaction, which you know if they're going to receive compaction, there's going to be no infiltration into that ground. You know, this, I mean, the amount of water that goes onto the road, covering the road, and especially in colder climates, will not infiltrate into that ground as much as you think it will. There's going to, right now, if you look at the property from the road, you'll see how everything is sloping towards that road, and from that road it will travel the ditch down to that stream. That stream feeds, you know, Wagman's Pond in Milton, it goes into Broadkill and affects the watershed as a whole. I used to swim in that stream. My kids used to swim in that stream. Ever since that culvert got put in, and if it rains, your skin will actually burn if you go into that stream. There used to be fish in that stream. So this water, even though you can promise me 100% that there's stormwater management, will always be maintained on that property. You know, without an embankment that's going to protect my property from the overages on there, I am not comfortable with this at all. You know, I hope this is an easy decision for you. And knowing that, you know, I did see in the news today that there's a $35 million budget was put out by county council in 2020 to discuss the upgraded sewer and water in this county. If that were come to this area, I would be totally for it. But as of right now, the sewer and the idea that, you know, we are not going to be able to protect my water is a big concern. I did look at the covenants. I believe that it indicated that the homeowners association would have to pay $150 a year, and that the landowner would turn the property over to the HOA after 75% occupancy. So after 25 homeowners, that's only $3,750. And you're asking these homeowners for that amount of money to maintain 12 acres of open space. You know, these are roads, these are culverts. I mean, I think from a ADA standpoint that there should be sidewalks. You know, if this is affordable housing, this is, you know, sometimes we need sidewalks. I don't think the infrastructure in Burton Road, even though it's easily accessible to Sand Hill and Gravel Hill, is not adequate for this type of community. If it was closer to a town or areas in which people, there's not even a dark bus location anywhere near Burton Road that would help out even with transportation. So I hope your decisions, like I said, the political climate today is water and the safety of water. The only thing I can conclude is the fact that, you know, you're adding 33 houses here, you know, 33 septics, which should be a major concern. And I know that you would not want that next to your house. You know, 33 wells, 66 vehicles. I know, you know, traffic is always a big thing when it comes to these types of things. But imagine if you would, you know, living on this back road and putting your kids on a bus, and almost having your kids hit because this road infrastructure is not adequate enough to be traveled on. You know, this happened to me. You know, and you're adding 66 more vehicles and making it a major roadway between Milton and 113, which is being utilized today, but it is additional traffic. So please consider my objections to this plan. I think there's, like I said, I think we should see a better storm management, because once this land is compacted, we're going to see more issues, and I would love to see a downstream analysis and see how it is really going to affect ecologically the area. Thank you.
Peyton, I think Mr. Hopkins has a question.
When you said the water, you referred to the contamination and
yes,
kids swimming and feeling, you know, like they're burning. You referred to it as wastewater, but you probably mean some form of
it's water coming directly off of this property.
But what
rainwater?
The groundwater?
It's groundwater. Majority of the water that is going into that stream is coming from our property. That culvert that you actually have seen during this rain, there will only be a little bit of space coming off of that. Our property, being that it's used for agriculture, is actually sloping back towards the conservatory area, and it is being filtrated into the ground and everything, and less of that is actually coming into our stream. But majority is, you can go down there, you would see where the water is coming off of that property through the ditches that I just showed you, and then traveling down the ditches.
What do you think is causing the like whatever it is? The
sediment. Oh. I mean, I would say sediment. You got the especially in the summertime when obviously we would be swimming in there and everything. You would have chemicals being utilized for agricultural uses and stuff. I mean, I know from a farming standpoint with trees and everything, there are certain chemicals to make sure that you don't get mildew and their diseases to protect them from and everything like that. So usually when it rains, I forbid my kids to actually swim in until I can actually go and review the condition. And once it goes back to a clear water stream, like it always has been as I grew up with, then it's okay.
But okay, so I'm trying to put a time frame on it. It was cleared back in the early 70s.
It was clear 70s, 80s. As soon as that culvert went in, it has become less clear.
So you were swimming in it back then,
mm-hmm,
and it was farmland.
Yeah.
And nothing's changed. It's continued to be farmland. They've not put houses in there yet.
What has changed is if you look at those satellite maps, you will see where the landowner actually went and started putting ditches, especially on the east side of there, to drain, to make sure to get the wetness of his land drier.
So you're saying that like when you were growing up, it was contained on
the
on site.
Yes, it was
somehow
contained on site. This is a very wet property. I hunted on that property. I have gone out into the fields when it was not planted, and you know, having permission and being in sync up to my knees in mud.
So you think it would be like chemicals or something he's putting on his fields?
I mean, but it's normal agriculture. But now we're talking about compacting the property. You're stating, you know, you're almost overflowing a stream. You're overflowing the ditches going to that stream. And I don't feel that the storm management plan is adequate enough or been looked at enough in order to make a valid decision.
Is this property being farmed currently?
Yes, it's currently being farmed. It's being farmed with, I can't tell, but it's definitely plants in there right now.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah. I mean, and if you look at the satellite maps, you know, it's even being more farmed than what it probably was, because you can clearly see in the past decade how those ditches appeared and they slowly went away. Well, a lot of reasons why they probably went away is all the erosion of the water coming off of that field has kind of made it in, you know, settled the soil.
When did that culvert go in, do you know, basically?
40 now, I would say it was definitely probably 16, 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No more questions.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, with the hat right here in front.
My name is Jacob Fowler. I live just east of this property. I'm sorry, just west of this property. Actually, it's my wife's family land. They've been there for upwards of 70 years. It's actually her uncle as well. There's three of us live on, or three families that live on that farm, our two kids. This is not a development type of area. This is a very rural area. There's our farm, the Brittingham farm, and the Ogles farm all on this property. It's just not suited for that area. This is a very, very narrow road. It is a tar and chip road that, in my opinion, is very poorly maintained. It's heavily trafficked by the dogfish, beer, wastewater trucks, and they have torn it to pieces, so I don't think it could even handle another, even if we average it out at a car and a half per home, 15 cars as well. For me, this is one of the, I grew up in a very rural area, and I moved, we decided to live on our farm because it is in a very rural area. We did not want to live in a community. When we moved here, I was in a community, I did not like it, and this is one of the very few areas east of 113 that is still ruralized. We chose to live there because we have the Redden State Forest behind us, we have the Conservancy across from us, it's quiet, and I feel that this community would disturb that area greatly. I'm not opposed to housing, I'm in the construction trades. I just feel like we chose this area for a reason, and to see it overdeveloped like this is kind of ruining that area.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Anyone else? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Yeah, Ray Burton. I live at 2205 Fort Burton Road, right across from the development. Mm-hmm. I grew up there 70 plus years ago. And it was woods up until 1965, I think it was, 1970, when they grew it up. And ever since he started tilling it, well, we've had a lot of water across the road, putting them ditches in there and things. And another thing, looks like that's too much density for that. For that area, for the Forest Service. I've been in the fire company almost 50 years, and you try to get a fire truck in there and go around that cul-de-sac. Especially today with the size of equipment that they're running down the road, and as heavy they are, you know, it needs a good solid road there. And that storm water management, I don't think that pond is big enough, because you probably go out there, if it rained for another hour, it'd be running across the road. And for the school buses, they turn around in my driveway all the time, and I have to keep grading it. So if he could make some kind of provision for them to go in that entrance and turn around, take a couple of lots out or something, because it's not really safe, because we've got a curve on each side of that entrance. So I think that's a safety issue right there.
Okay.
I appreciate your consideration.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good evening. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, all the way in the back. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Larry Schrock. I live at 21275 Burton Road, 29 years. I just want to add a little bit to what the previous gentlemen have said. Number one, in my opinion, Burton Road is not built to handle any more traffic than what we have currently, let alone 50-some cars. When I look at the map there, I see a large percentage of the acreage is going to be impervious material between the roads and the houses and everything. So now you're taking a piece of land that already is wet and going to jam all that extra water into that little storm management pond. I don't think that's going to suffice. That's basically all I had.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay. Anyone on the commission have any questions? Do we want to take a show of hands? Are there a lot of folks here with an interest in this application? I'm just not sure who's here for what reason. So
that's fine. We'll take a show.
Sure. So those of you who are, obviously we understand who's in favor. We're good with that. But those who would be in opposition to the application, just raise your hand so we can put you on the record. Okay. I wasn't sure how many of the folks here actually were here for this application. So, all right then. If there are no more questions on the commission, then we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.